first for the Bucks.
Zeke Elliott bumped the ball.
Jalen Smith.
That is a play to remember.
Oh, what a tackle by Jalen Smith.
What's going on tonight, guys? Welcome back to the Frisco Report. I can't do this by myself. I'm Dallas Cowboy Football News, and I also got Joe from Cowboys Blog. Joe, what's going on, man? How you been?
What's up, man? We're ready to rock and roll this next episode. Have a lot of good topics to discuss. I can't wait to get into it.
Yeah, me too. And let's just open this thing up with Byron Jones, 31 cornerback for the Dallas Cowboys. He just played off his fifth-year option. He is an unrestricted free agent. And, you know, Will McClay said some things. Mike Nolan said some things yesterday in a press conference on DallasCowboys.com. And what Mike Nolan said, Joe, was that he reminisced about a story he had with Troy Aikman a few years back. And Troy Aikman said, you know, I'm not scared to throw it to a corner that's gonna drop the pass down. You know, I throw incompletions all the time. But, and they were talking about Deion Sanders. He said, when I throw to Deion's side, I got to worry about pick sixes. And Mike Nolan, this guy wants ball hawks, all right? Mm-hmm. And Byron Jones's future, it don't look too good for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, we kind of seen this coming. So I'm not really shocked that, you know, Mike Nolan, you know, quoted something from Troy Aikman years back, but that's what this fan's been screaming, right?
Yeah, man, it really is. It's a tell of two sides, and this is a very, very, this is a topic that really gets fans going. You know, yeah, I mean, some people get very mad. Some people just, you know, they can't take the other side's view. You know, they believe in their own view, and then that's it. But, you know, yeah, like you said, Mike Nolan made that quote, and there's something to it. You know, yeah, that's a great point. Knocking down the ball, I mean, that's Byron Jones. He'll knock it down. He won't pick it. What did we say? He had two interceptions career-wise.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and it's true. You know, you can't compare apples and oranges. Byron Jones is not a Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders will hurt you. He'll hurt you with getting an interception. He has the speed and the know-how to get it a pick six and take it home. Byron Jones is not that. I think his best attribute has been his durability. You know, I have to give it to him, you know. And he did play better this year, you know, moving him from safety to the cornerback. But, you know, even Will McClay, you know, he's saying that, you know, he's a starting caliber in a for corner. For me, it almost sounds like, you know, he's kind of like, well, he could be a starting cornerback for somebody. But, you know, it wasn't a ringing endorsement. He's a good player. We have to figure out the financial value and see if it fits us. So for me, they're gonna give him a number. It's probably going to be low. And it's probably going to be something that Byron thinks that he can get more. And he probably will, you know, to be honest. He probably can. So there's going to be a team out there that'll take him, you know, for what he does. But yeah, man, the Cowboys, if they want to start forcing the ball and turning the ball, you can't keep the same players around. All right. You just can't. And it's not about, I see this on Twitter all the time, because I just talked about it today, and you get a fan like, you know, you're supposed to root for your team and support them and this and that. Nah, man, we're not homers here, bro. Like if the guy isn't going to give us turnovers, where's the value? There's value in knocking the ball down, but we've been struggling forever. We've been struggling forever to get the ball, and it's time, man. That's what this whole fluxing of, you know, changing the staff and bringing in all these kinds of people. They want different guys, you know. Yep. They brought Al Harris, they brought Lindquist, they brought, you know, various coaches that have that mentality that we want the ball. We're gonna coach you correctly. And we're going to try to get the ball, you know?
Exactly. And that's a good segue. You know, you brought up some coaches there, a lot of defensive coaches that Mike McCarthy staff, you know, it's brand new. Like I said, they only kept two. Doug Neuschmeyer, he's now a quarterback coach. Kellen Moore stayed as the offensive coordinator. So let's talk about that coaching staff since you brought it up. I mean, who do you like out of this, I call it the coaching staff on steroids.
Yeah.
Who do you like on it?
I'm just very impressed. And I know we kind of touched on this last podcast, but I'm just impressed at McCarthy's ability to put together this kind of staff, you know, and it's another reason why you want this caliber of a coach. He has, you know, this long reach. He just knows a lot of people, right? Been in the league forever, knows a lot of people and really good relationships. And you just look at the staff. It's amazing. I think John Fossil is going to be a big one for us. The field position is going to help out just right there alone. You know, be a little bit more aggressive. You know, John Fossil's known for fake punts, fake field goals. No way in hell would Garrett do that. I think he did it like maybe two or three times his entire career. And when he did it, fans would get so excited about like, yeah, you know, fake punt, fake field goal. Then we converted it. But that would be it. We would never do it again. And I feel with Fossil, he's a little bit more aggressive. The other guy that I like is Rob Davis. I think this one here, they're saying he's an assistant coach. He's a VP, you know, a former personnel guy there with the Packers. So I think if you're looking to groom somebody to be, a Will McClay type of player, because, you know, it's possible that if McClay were ever to leave, you know, we'll have our pants down. We won't have anybody there. I feel that Rob Davis kind of is going to be like that floating type of coach / liaison with the front office. Him and Will McClay working together. McCarthy wants this type of player. That kind of discussion. And the other thing that I like about this, man, you're starting to hear the same message. We want our players to know that we want them to succeed. We want them to be valued. John Fossil said that he wants his guys to feel valued. You know, these are special teamers. They're backups. They may think that the role is not important, you know, but for Fossil, it's very important for him. No, it's important to him to make the players feel that they're valued, you know. And you heard Rob Davis has the same mentality. He wants this locker room culture to change. I think he's the guy that they're bringing in here to change the culture, right? The culture with the Cowboys has not been good. You know, it has not been good. So those two really stick out to me. But, you know, what about you, Mike? Who are you like?
I got to be honest. I got to go defense. I played defense in high school. You know, I'm a defensive-minded guy. Jim Tonsula, the defensive line coach. Rod Marinelli, you know, his system worked in Tampa in 2002. Mm-hmm. His system don't work for the Dallas Cowboys in 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And, you know, it's an outdated system. And Jim Tonsula, I mean, this guy has almost the same resume as Rod Marinelli had. And this guy, with the addition of Leon Lett, they kept him too as the assistant head coach, right? Or the assistant to the defensive line. Yep. I think him, Leon Lett, Jim Tomsula, I think they're going to do some amazing things with, you know, your franchise guy, DeMarcus Lawrence. You know, they don't want a smaller under tackle guy. You know, they want meat in there. You know, they want some beef, some heavy set, stop the run guys. And that's what this defense needs. And I'm excited about this. And I'm excited for Mike Nolan, another defensive guy, because you're going to see packages of a 4-3. You're going to see packages of a 3-4, dime, nickel, cover one, cover three. I mean, they're going to mix it up on defense. And Mike Nolan, a lot of people have been asking me, you know, his culture resume ain't the best. But when you got guys like Jim Tomsula, when you got guys – like Maurice Linguist, who's up and coming in the National Football League, a big name to coach corners, right? And you got a guy like Jim Tomsula. Mike Nolan has the staff for him to be successful on defense. And I'm excited, Joe, that, you know, we talked about Byron Jones and lacks of turnovers and stuff. It might not happen overnight because these players got to learn this new system, but maybe week 3 and 4, I'm telling you, the Dallas Cowboys will get turnovers, and I'm excited about Mike Nolan, and I'm excited about Jim Tomsula.
I love it, man. Great points, because, you know, Those are facts, man. It's just plain facts. You cannot deny. Yeah, Rod Marinelli is as nice of a guy as he was. You know, I feel like it just got stale, man. You just, you know, you weren't getting anything out of anybody. You know, you try to hit on a player in free agency and, you know, these bargain bin players, and you're kind of asking Marinelli to do a little bit too much. He just doesn't have, he doesn't have it in him. You know, a little bit too old, you know, maybe not in touch with the younger type of player. I think Tom Sula does. And you know, you hear Mike Nolan talk about him, saying that he's a people person. He knows how to relate right to people, and as a grown man, you know. So it's more of the same kind of message, you know, that these guys, they want to feel valued, you know. And I think that's a big deal, man. Like, it's almost like you talk about what we do as our day jobs. If you don't feel valued, you're not going to put the effort in, right? You're like, exactly, man, what the hell? I'm busting my butt and, you know, nothing, man. I'm not getting any recognition. You know, these guys, they want the record. They want to give you recognition. They want to give you the praise, you know, at the same time that they're coaching you. I think this other coaching staff probably didn't have that, man. No, you know,
they didn't. And if I had to pick a guy on offense, Joe, you know, I think the offensive line is pretty picky on who they work with. You know, they didn't do great with Paul Alexander. You know, Mike Colombo came in, and Dak was second in sacks in the National Football League. So that's really good numbers there. But Joe Philbin, I got to tell you this, man. I think the offensive line will gel and really execute under a guy like Joe Philbin. And I can't wait to see what he does with three Pro Bowlers. You know, what he does at the left guard position. Is Connor Williams really the guy? Or is he going to bring some competition and not settle? And that's what I'm excited about.
Yeah, and that's kind of the theme that you and I have been talking about. Don't settle on players, man. If you can get better, get better. So, yeah, man, I like that one too, man. Philbin, you know, he has a proven track record, especially working with McCarthy. Like, they're, you know, they work really good together. They know – he knows what McCarthy wants, and McCarthy knows that Philbin can execute those orders. So, yeah, that's another good one. I really don't, you know, looking at all these guys, I really don't see anything that makes me, you know, go like, you know, I don't know about this one. This is all very refreshing, to be honest. But, yeah, the guys that we talked about, I think they really pop off the screen, and they're going to make a big impact for us.
Absolutely. One more thing. You touched on Rob Davis, the assistant head coach, and fans are like, he has no coaching experience. It's Jason Garrett 2.0. Not necessarily, because that's his only title. And if you watch his interview today on DallasCowboy.com, you know he has ties to, you know, coaching defense. He has ties on the offense, but he's a life coach. And, you know, he's going to keep these players right. And that's on the field and off the field. And you should be excited for a guy like Rob Davis, because it's going to keep these players' minds right. You know, we had to, you know, give Dez Bryant a mentor pretty much half of his Dallas Cowboy career, because they were scared he's going to do something, you know, off the wall. And so Rob Davis, a great addition for the players.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely a great point. I think they're going to run a tight ship here. I think it's not going to be so loose with Garrett as it was, because, you know, like I've been studying McCarthy, you know, and his rosters throughout the years. I broke it down, and it's just, if you don't perform, he'll replace you. If you're a draft pick and you don't do well, they'll draft again and replace you. He's not going to hold on to subpar players. And I'm excited about that. And I think Rob Davis is going to be a big part of that. You know, he's going to be
exactly,
you know, just about, you know, we want to win. We want men that want to win with us and that kind of thing.
Yep. You know, I mean, this coaching staff, and talk about the timing of it, you know, just a week after week 17, you know, Jason Garrett was out on Sunday. Mike McCarthy's your coach on Monday. It gave him time to get this team together, because if the Cowboys would have waited 3 or 4 weeks doing more interviews, you could have lost a guy like Mike McCarthy, and you probably wouldn't have these assistants on your football team. So perfect timing by the Jones family, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. So what we want to get into here next, Mike, is what everybody loves to talk about. The upcoming draft, roster building time. All right, so
yes, sir.
I'm gonna give you some. I have two confirmed players that the Cowboys met with at the Senior Bowl. I was gonna do a video on this, but it was only two players that I was able to confirm: Javon Kinlaw and Chase Claypool from Notre Dame, the wide receiver. So they talked to a defensive tackle, they talked to a wide receiver. So that's interesting. I'm sure they met with a lot of other players, but those were the two that I was able to confirm. Now, looking at some mock drafts that have come out here recently, you know, we're talking about Daniel Jeremiah. At 17, he gave us Xavier McKinney, the safety out of Alabama. All right. And then Bucky Brooks. This is an interesting one. This one came out yesterday. He gives us Henry Ruggs, the third wide receiver out of Alabama, the speedster guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dane Brugler, he gave us Grant Delpit. All right, so pretty interesting here early on. You know, you got some safeties in here and a wide receiver. Let's kind of break this down. Xavier McKinney, what do you think about that one there from DJ?
I like it. 6 sacks last 2 years, 5 interceptions in the last 2 years. And what I like about McKinney is he's a textbook strong safety, man. He plays tight on tight ends. He will not play single high. So, you know, if you bring your free safety down, it ain't going to work. He cannot play high on top. He needs to be down in the box on tight ends. The guy's a sure tackler. And, 6'1", 200 pounds. That's what I'm looking for in the modern day NFL. Strong safety category, Joe.
Yeah, definitely a solid player. I wonder if he will, how he'll look in the combine. A lot of these guys that we're talking about, all three of these guys, if they perform, you know, really well in the combine, it'll elevate these guys. So, you know, you're talking about 17, McKinney could be there. You know, I like to think about the year that Aaron Donald came out, you know, early on, just like we're talking about early right now in the draft process, there was mock drafts that had Aaron Donald coming to us. But once the Senior Bowl happened and he was blowing people up, it started creeping up higher and higher. And then when you get to the, you know, the combine and the measurables and all that kind of thing, just looking very, you know, well built and just complete. That was it, man. He rose above what the Cowboys were willing to, you know, trade up to get him if they wanted him. So who's to say that this guy, McKinney, might end up going high? You know, it could go like a, I don't know, like a Jamal Adams or, you know, he went high. But, you know, for the most part, safeties don't go that high usually. You know, Adams might be the most recent one that went, you know, top 6 or whatever it was. But even Derwin James, he was in striking distance for us, you know, when we drafted Van Der Esch. So,
yeah.
So, it'll be interesting. Now, Bucky Brooks, this one here is very interesting. Extremely interesting because he has a wide receiver coming to us, you know. So, it's what do you think about that? Would you be like, I don't know about this? And, Like, early on, how do you feel about this one?
With Henry Ruggs from Alabama, the guy has speed, right? And in this offense, you know, Michael Gallup, he don't have the speed Henry Ruggs has. Amari Cooper, I don't trust that ankle for a full 16 game season. His finesse is in the route tree, right?
Yes.
So Henry Ruggs, Randall Cobb's getting older too, right? And all these other guys, Cedric Wilson, they're not panning out in the National Football League. Yeah. So if the Cowboys were to take Henry Ruggs, and that's the best player available on their board, and Xavier McKinney's already taken, these guys are already taken, I'll be happy with it because it's another weapon for Dak Prescott.
Absolutely, man. And I know some fans would be out there like, no way, no way. You know, where's the defensive tackle? Where's the safety? I don't want a wide receiver. What the hell are we doing? You know, that fan will be out there. You know, and there's absolutely an argument for that. You know, all of us, I think, have been screaming for a defensive tackle and safety for the last couple of drafts. Probably like the last 15, it seems like. But you know, this is a different regime. You know, what if McCarthy wants to push the pedal to the metal? What other way to do that than to stack it up? You know, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, Henry Ruggs, and what if they do bring back Cobb? I mean, that is deep. That is deadly. Mm-hmm. Who do you cover? Who do you double? Somebody's gonna be open one on one.
Exactly.
You're going to have some one-on-one matchups. And for me, the thing I like about McCarthy is he's all about matchups, mismatches. That's why you look at McCarthy's past drafting. They were always very deep at wide receiver. Very deep. They didn't just have two guys. Like right now for us, we got two guys. Cooper and Gallup. And then, you know, Cobb is a good little piece there at slot. But McCarthy in the past, you know, solid four receivers. Depth was solid. You know, they could hit you from anywhere, you know, and I wouldn't put it out of the the realm that this will happen. Now, for me, I would probably maybe look more at the second round for wide receiver. But it depends, you know, like how do they have a first round grade for him? That's what it's going to come down to, you know, to go that high at 17, you know.
No, yeah, I do know. And, you know, you brought up Chase Claypool, the wide receiver out of Notre Dame.
Right.
And I like this guy's measurables, dude. He's 6'4", 229 pounds. That's a good size. That's a good – I'm telling you, if something happens with Amari Cooper and he decides he wants to leave Dallas, I think Michael Gallup can hold the reins just a little bit more. And then Chase Claypool with that size, with his route running ability, the guy had 1,037 yards in 2019 and 13 touchdowns at Notre Dame. You have to respect it with 66 receptions. And so, you know, maybe you go Chase Claypool in the second round. I can see him going to the second round. But what's your thoughts on Chase Claypool?
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason they met with him, and I think the reason is the playmaking ability. You know, 13 touchdowns, and those 13 touchdowns were over 13 games. So this guy was almost an unstoppable monster, and he's big. He's a mismatch. And we come back to the McCarthy, mismatches are his thing. This guy would be a mismatch. Now, for me, I think McCarthy definitely wants to bring back Cooper. You know, he can run this West Coast Kellen Moore hybrid, whatever the hell they're calling it.
True.
That, I mean, just the pedal to the metal, man. I mean, that's something for me. I think they're going to want to do that. You know, whether it's another wide receiver or one of these new age tight ends, right? That'll be a red zone target. So I think for sure they're going to add another pass catcher. Well, what about Jarwin? You know, so you're talking about Jarwin and you like, I want to add somebody else. He's a restricted guy. They're going to bring him back. You know, I'm almost sure they're going to bring him back, but I think you still need the other guy in there. You need to add another player there at tight end.
You're right about that. So we went over Bucky's, right? Dane Brugler. Yeah. Grant Delpit, LSU. We talked about him last show. And I think it's a reach. There's too many teams that need a guy like Delpit. I mean, the Redskins, the Giants, the Panthers, the Jaguars, and the Browns. I'll be surprised if Grant Delpit is sitting there at 17.
I'm with you too, man. The more I watch of him, the more I feel that he's right there. You know, I think you have him as your 1A. McKinney's probably your 1B. You know, they give you different things, you know. The thing about Delpit is the ankle, the injury. How is he going to look in the combine? Is he going to do any of the drills in the combine? Does he need to have the ankle cleaned up? So these are important things that will get answered at the combine. If he doesn't do any of these things, you know, and you know, let's say his ankle needs to be cleaned up or something, a scoping or something, then that's going to set him back. It happens every year. Some guy comes out and says, "Oh, I can't participate. I'm having a procedure done and this and that." And we're talking about, you know, April, you know, mini camp, training camp. These things come up real quick, so the rehab process is shortened, or you know, you don't want to rush it. So these little things, they come into play, and that's what I love about the combine, you know, these little tidbits that come out. But for me, man, yeah, like you said, will he be there? I would be shocked, man. I would be shocked if he's there, because, you know, there's teams need safeties, man. They need them, man. Especially in this new age of NFL where these tight ends are eating up the league. You got to have somebody that can cover them and somebody that can tackle them.
You know? Yeah, you do need that, seriously. And then they met with Javon Kinlaw.
Javon
Kinlaw. And dude, this size, dude, 6'6", 310, like, just watching him on tape, dude, I'm telling you, it's – this guy's a force to be reckoned with. And if he can be there at 17, you know, Henry Huggs, bye. I would love Kinlaw on this football team, man.
Yeah, it's definitely the hot name right now. And this too will be interesting because, you know, we kind of heard about leading up to the Senior Bowl, that watch the knees, let's see what happens, and sure enough, he kind of tweaked his knees. So this is another one that we're going to monitor closely. The medicals on Kinlaw, is there something there? Did he strain something? Did he tear something? You know, it doesn't take much. Sometimes you'll see a player kind of limp off the field. You'll be like, oh, he's okay. And it ends up being an MCL, ACL, or something crazy like that, right?
Right.
So that'll be an interesting one. But, yeah, man, you got to love the size, the ability to collapse the pocket, play the run, pressure the quarterback, everything you want in a defensive tackle, especially the size, man, you know.
Oh, God, the size.
We're talking about
David beef. Irving. This guy's better than David Irving, all right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. They both had that wingspan, but Kinlaw, a lot more polished. I think he has more upside, but Irving was a lot more raw. You know, he went undrafted, and it took him a while to get going. But you get this guy in here, you know, this defense is automatically upgraded right out the bat.
Off the bat, dude. And then that's what's exciting about this time of year, man. Just talking, you know, drafts and potential players that people have us at. All to lead to what, Joe? The Super Bowl, right? That's every team's mission. This year, 49ers, Kansas City Chiefs. You know, it's been 50 years for the Chiefs, 25 years for the San Francisco 49ers, man. Do you have any predictions for this year's Super Bowl?
Well, I think it's just crazy to think that a franchise can go 50 years without a Super Bowl. And then I think about where the Cowboys are at right now, and it's like, dude, where are we at? We're getting about, what, 30 years or something already? So
26 next year, yeah, or this season.
We're almost to 30. So you think about it, and it can happen at a blink of an eye like that. So, yeah, the Chiefs, man. So they're loaded on offense, and Patrick Mahomes, man, I think he's the real deal. You know, there was a lot of questions of him coming out of Texas Tech. A lot of teams passed on him, I think, because, you know, you think about Texas Tech and, you know, the spread and, you know, just a lot of passing and that kind of thing. You know, can he, you know, work under the center? And he's proven that he can do that. You know, it's not all shotgun. It's, you know, all sorts of stuff. This guy is amazing. He's a modern day Brett Favre, but better. You know, I think he's really, really, really good. And you know, as far as the 49ers go, that defense is stacked. You know, all those losing seasons, you know, you have that D-line is what it is because of those. So, and their linebackers are good, man. Their corners are good. That defense is crazy, dude. Like, they're going to be good for a while. That NFC West, it's going to be competitive as hell, man. My only question, I think, is Garoppolo. You know, I'm not fully sold on him. He does some things, some goofy things sometimes. You know, I think he still favors that knee a little bit in the back of his head. So, for me, I got Mahomes over him. So, I don't know, man. I have the Chiefs taking it. That's my prediction. I think the Chiefs take it. They have an underrated defense. You know, Frank Clark, he's a beast there on the pass rush. He's nasty. I don't. They got a good deal, man. I think they poked the eyes out on Seattle. But, you know, he does have those off-field issues. I think that was part of the reason they shipped him out. But you can't deny the on-field production, man. Frank Clark is he's something crazy out there, man. I like it.
I'll say this. I don't have the Chiefs winning this. I got the 49ers winning this. And here's why. They had a bye week. They were down 24-0. They were playing the Texans. They came back at one. They were playing the Tennessee Titans in the AFC Championship. They were down 10-0. They came back, beat the Titans. If the Chiefs have a slow start against a team like the 49ers, they won't be able to come back to it. You just touched on it, right? Mm. Their defense is probably they're going to be good for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, they match up with a Travis Kelce. They match up with a Tyreek Hill. And the Chiefs really don't got a running game. You got Mahomes that can do the run pass option, right? That might hurt the 49ers just a little bit, but defense wins championships. And when I look at paper and I look at the season that just happened, just transpired in front of all our eyes, the 49ers have the better defense. Offense sells the tickets. The defense wins this championship. San Francisco has a running game. And Garoppolo only, passed it 10 times? Mm-hmm. The running game was off the charts against the Green Bay Packers, who had probably a better defense than the Chiefs, let's be honest. So I'm taking the 49ers because they got the defense. They got the running game. They got the most consistent offense and defense in the National Football League. You can't go in with slow starts 24-0 against the Houston Texans. You can't go in 0-10 against the Tennessee Titans. If they have that slow start against the 49ers, 49ers will win the Super Bowl.
Very good point. Very good point. And I think it's gonna come down to it. Who can beat the other squad? Can the defense beat the Chiefs' high potent offense? Or can the 49ers' stingy defense shut down that high power? It's going to be fun, man. I really can't wait. This is going to be a good Super Bowl, man. I think it's going to have some fireworks. I really do. It's going to come down to a final possession type of deal. Who's going to clutch it out, man? Who's going to clutch it out?
Yeah, it's going to be pretty exciting to watch, man. And hopefully, maybe, fingers crossed, the Dallas Cowboys get that talent in the draft. The Dallas Cowboys take care of free agency. And the Dallas Cowboys build this team where they can be in that Super Bowl next year, Joe. That's all I got, unless you got anything else.
Yeah, man. And that's kind of something that was so disappointing about our season. You know, it was just like we feel like we have the roster. We have the players. And it just felt like that missing piece was at the top, the head coach. So, if that's the thinking, you know, that was my thinking, and I think a lot of fans have a similar take on it, is that it could be the final piece, but you still got to get better. So, yeah, like you said, free agency, we got to take care of that. We got to knock it out the park. And the draft, you have to make up for last year's draft. Last year's draft, not good. It just was not good. Tristan Hill, not really calling him a bust as per se, but he's got a lot of work to do, and if he doesn't do it this year, they're not going to hang on to him.
Agreed.
Pollard is very exciting for me. I think he'll be one. You know, we talked about that. he'll benefit the most out of this.
Exactly.
McGovern, I think there's still a hope there. For us, we want him to push Connor. All right. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the guys, yeah, just, you know, not very good.
And speaking of Connor McGovern, you want him to do good because what was he, a third round pick?
Yeah, third round pick. That's
You just can't have third round picks be a bust, along with second round picks, along with your first round picks. That's your future for the next 5 years. You can't afford for those rounds to be bust. And so far, the Cowboys been hurt. Chaz Green, you know, Malik Collins can't stay healthy. Charles Tapper was a fourth round pick,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
but fourth. You know, you get my point. You have to hit on the first three rounds of the draft, and because it hurts your franchise for the next 5 years. If that's why I'm rooting for McGovern to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely, well said. Because it hurts you in the long run. It can set you back. You know, and some people will say, you know, pump the brakes on Tristan Hill. He was only a second round pick. Listen, guys, second round picks are expected to contribute, and they're expected to contribute immediately.
Day one starters.
How many games was he deactivated? He couldn't push. Are you telling me he couldn't push Antoine Woods? That's not good. Antoine Woods is not good.
Mm-mm.
Christian Covington, you know, and the Cowboys, the old regime, versatility, and this and that.
Right.
Let's get somebody that can play their damn position as a beast, and then that's it. I mean, yeah, you do want some of that, but let's get off that. Let's get a beast at their position and let them destroy people at their position. That's it.
Exactly.
You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, dude, I do. And that was one hell of a point, because just the versatility side of it. You know, they bring in Kevin Fleming, who was a right tackle on a Super Bowl winning team.
Right.
They bring him in and make him a left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
He just played in the Super Bowl at right tackle and did a pretty darn good job.
Right.
Why would you make him your left tackle backup?
Facts. Straight facts.
That's the best example I can give for you. I mean, there's more under the Jason Garrett era, but I'm just going to give the most recent one to you. Joe, where can they find you?
You guys can find me on YouTube and just look me up as Cowboys Blog. You can hit me up on Twitter and Instagram, CowboysBlog.net. Hit me up, guys. We'll have a discussion, and we'll talk about some stuff, man. I appreciate everybody that follows and hits me up on the DMs. You know, anybody that follows me and hits me up on DM, they'll tell you that, you know, I'll reply back, man. I love talking Cowboys, and it's a fun discussion for sure.
Absolutely. Be sure to follow the Frisco Report here on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. At the Frisco Report on Twitter, guys, make sure you give us a follow there. And I'm Dallas Cowboy Football News on YouTube and on Facebook. DCF News 1 on Twitter, guys. Like Joe said, the conversation starts. So slide in that DM, give me a mention, whatever we got to do to get this conversation started. But that's it for the Frisco Report. Until next week, guys. Peace.